Turn over to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, which has been our text that we've been studying. And, of course, it branches off into everything else. But these words were written to us. And the race course runners is what we're going to be focusing on, as David talked about this morning, having that racehorse on his little wind vane. We've mentioned this every time we start our class here since we've began the study a few months ago in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, how it's an 80-word sentence there in those two verses. And 80 is the number that points to strength, and it points to the strength of God. And if we're ever going to be a full overcomer, we need the strength of God in our lives. And what do we have that gives us that strength? It's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so Paul writes, after writing a chapter on the Old Testament worthies of faith, he says in Hebrews 12, 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us," and that's you and me, "lay aside every weight," and "let us lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us," that's unbelief. And then this portion we're going to look at a little more this morning, "and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And of course, we need a focus. So here it is in verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down to the right hand of the throne of God." Now, this thought of patience, it's kind of broad and expansive. It's a big subject. And the material that Paul presents here in Hebrews 12, 1, it underlies an umbrella called faith. It's all about faith. And so let's get back into where we were. I want you to go to Romans 10. And you'll hear this verse quoted often, and you probably have it memorized. It's Romans 10, 17, where we're going. But we're talking about full overcoming faith. Where does it come from? And Romans 10, 17 gives us the answer. It says, "So then faith cometh by hearing," and hearing what? The Word of God. And the Word of God, whenever you read it, should trigger a little thing in the back of your mind that takes you to Revelation 19, 13. The Word of God is Jesus himself. It's the Scriptures. There's a lot of ways of saying it. Psalms 119 says it just about in every verse a different way. The Word of Truth and so forth. So the Word of God is the Scriptures Jesus references in in Revelation 3:8. In Revelation 3:8 is written to the Philadelphian church. And he says there, in Revelation 3:8, "For thou hast kept my word," in that verse. What is his word? It's the Scriptures. It's the Word of God. If you're back in Romans, go to the 15th chapter in verse 4. And this is an important verse, as are all of them. But this is really important in the thought and the subject matter of the Word of God and of patience, and how we can tie this together. And the Apostle Paul acknowledged the importance of learning and knowing the Scriptures, the Word of God, in several places. And one of these places is Romans 15:4, where he wrote, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." We can learn from the Scriptures, and we do learn from the Scriptures. And these referencing Old Testament Scriptures. And we, in addition, have New Testament Scriptures and the 100 chapters that the Apostle Paul wrote for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have what? Hope. Now, I want you to think about this and ponder for a moment the interesting words portrayed here, the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. The patience and the comfort of the Scriptures is the encouragement, the exhortation, and the admonition the race course runner needs to lay hold upon the hope set before us, who is Jesus Christ himself. How do we learn about him? Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Now, we introduced that word patience a couple Sunday mornings ago, and we noted that patience means an abiding under. And here we find the race course runner abiding under the power of the Holy Ghost to be encouraged by the Scriptures, which were written for our learning, to the end that we may win Christ. And it's the Holy Ghost who whispers these Scriptures in their deeper meaning to our hearts. The Scriptures is a reference to the Word of God, who is Jesus. And we've mentioned that this morning. Hebrews 4:12, turn there, and you know this one too. But if you don't, here's a good one to underline. And it speaks of the Word of God and the power that's in the Word of God. And Paul wrote in Hebrews 4:12, I'll give you just another second to get there. Here's what Paul said in Hebrews 4:12. "For the Word of God is quick, it's alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I'm not even sure we know what the thoughts and intents of our own heart are, you know, to be real honest with you. But the Word of God can reveal it to us. Now, go back to 2 Thessalonians 3:5, because all these things that we've talked about here this morning amplify what is said there in 2 Thessalonians 3:5. So to make sense of all this, let's look at the verse and read it. And here's another underliner one, if it isn't already. And the Apostle Paul wrote here under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God," period, no, comma, "and into the patient waiting for Christ." Here we have that word again. You need two things: the Lord, the Holy Ghost, to direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So let's put all this that we've looked at here so far this morning together like this in the light of 2 Thessalonians 3:5. "And let the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the Word of God, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope into the patient waiting for Christ. There's nothing wrong with thinking of it like that. Those are all scriptural truths. James 1:3 tells us that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And we just read earlier when we started out this morning in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And now we see that the trying of our faith worketh patience. Go to Romans 5:3, and you'll see another reference to patience. Romans 5:3. It tells us that tribulation worketh patience. Now, if you want to ask the Lord for patience, perhaps you ought to read the whole first of James 1 and ask him for a little bit of wisdom first. Because if you're asking for patience, you're asking for tribulation. You're asking for trials. You're asking, bring it on, troubles in my life. And I don't think that's really what your intention is. Because tribulation does work patience. And one thing about patience, it requires time. It's not like the drive-up window at McDonald's where you order your meal, drive through, throw them some cash, and they hand you something burnt in the deal 15 minutes ago. That's not patience. Patience requires time. It requires waiting. And it requires that we be patient with the Lord. It requires that we be patient with ourselves. And it requires that we be patient with others. Okay, there you go. Now that pretty much encompasses what it involves. And James 1:4 goes on and adds this. And we'll talk a little bit more about James here this morning, I think. If not, we'll get to it if the Lord tarries next time. James 1:4 says this, but let patience have her perfect work. Now those are Holy Ghost inspired words, that her. Think of it like bridal saints would think of it. She's going to be patient. And let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect and entire, that it means complete. Finished, lacking or wanting nothing. Now, back to 2 Thessalonians 3:5, the phrase patient waiting. It's only found this one time in Scripture, and the reference is, the Lord direct your hearts into the patient waiting for Christ. Let's consider this for a minute. The first assumption, I guess, we could say that we correctly make concerning the patient waiting for Christ concerns Jesus' soon coming. And saints of this church age have been patiently waiting for his soon coming for 2,000 years. And we are too. And we should all be waiting patiently for Jesus' soon return. Jesus coming to catch his bride away will be the greatest event of this church age, for which only a small rib company of saints are patiently waiting. It is their focus that is upon Jesus in everything. And this brings us to the second and probably most important point of this statement, and let the Lord direct your hearts into the patient waiting for Christ. The Philadelphian saint has learned from studying and from learning the Word of God through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, to let the Lord direct their hearts into the patient waiting for Christ in everything and in every event, in big or seemingly tiny every event that is in their life, in your life. That is why so often we hear the true Philadelphia racecourse runner shout aloud, "Praise the Lord," in good, bad, whatever difficulties, for they are acknowledging him first in every aspect of their life. And I have to appreciate my wife in this regard. You know, I don't dare complain around her. Well, I do, but I shouldn't. You know, thank the Lord, praise the Lord, you know. And she's right. I mean, she's good. She's good for me that way. And she's thankful to the Lord. When she fell and broke her ankle, well, you know, that hurts bad and it looks bad. And she just spoke in tongues and rejoiced for the Lord. When she went to the doctor's office and they pulled off the bandages and the doctor left the room and she cried out and was praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. And they were probably listening at the door and said, "We're not going in there for a few minutes." I'm telling you the truth. And she can, I'm not trying to embarrass her, and I probably am. And I'm sorry for that. But, you know, I see her as a race course runner. Okay. The race course runner has learned the facts of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, not almost everything or 98% of the things, but in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you in everything. And that includes falling down the stairs and breaking your ankle or whatever, you know. Now, we've talked about this in lessons past, but I want to remind you something. Have you ever said to yourself, and I know you have, "Boy, I sure didn't need that. You know, this thing that hit me out of the blue, out of nowhere, man, I sure didn't need that." Well, if you're saying stuff like that, where's your focus? It's on the wrong thing. It's probably upon yourself first, and then maybe as a second afterthought, it's on the Lord, maybe. Our text in Hebrews 12:1-2 tells us that we should be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Sure didn't need that. Yes, you did. You want my best? You needed that. You know, look at it that way. Thank the Lord for it. Hey, thanks, Lord. I guess I did need that. You know? The next time an event takes place in your life and you feel like saying, "Boy, I sure didn't need this," realize that this event, this thing, this test in your life, this obstacle, this obstacle on your race course is being brought to you by Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who is working patience into your heart in life, probably just like you asked for, but not probably like you expected it, okay? But at any rate, continue to look unto him. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be the first thought in your heart in everything. If it is, praise the Lord will flow right out of your lips. Thank the Lord will flow right out of your mouth. Now think of it like this. You are his first thought. You are the joy that was set before him. So shouldn't he be your first thought in everything? And you know that's true. but I don't know if it is true, but you know that that is true. Nevertheless, it will be true in the hearts and lives of the full overcomers. Jesus will be first on the hearts and minds of the full overcomers, and of course, you know that to be true. So, the next time you think of saying, or maybe you do say, boy, I sure didn't need this, or I sure didn't need that, maybe you ought to re-quote 2 Thessalonians 3:5 to yourself, which says, and the Lord, and direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Then you can say, thank you, Lord, for bringing this event into my life. And this is how tribulation worketh patience, okay? And this is how the Lord directs your hearts into the patient waiting for Christ. Now, do you love his appearing? Well, do you see it in some of these events that take place? This obstacle race course that you're running, the obstacles that he placed there, do you see the Lord in this? Do you love his appearing? You do if you see the Lord in everything that comes your way. And praise the Lord. And thank the Lord. So, again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, back to Hebrews 12:1. And we're looking at this phrase in the last part of Hebrews 12:1, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And we're considering and have been considering the importance of patience. And I'll give you a quick review and we'll move on with this. And as we began looking into this broad concept of patience, we noted that the Greek word translated patience here is hupomone. It's number 5281 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. It's taken from two Greek words that are put together, hupo, meaning under, and mone, meaning to abide. Thus, hupomone literally means to abide under. And we noted, as we defined this a couple of weeks ago, that the patience of Job, who, under extreme testing, and he had extreme testing, if anybody ever did, under extreme testing, he allowed his faith and trust in God to abide prominent in his life, and he didn't have the scriptures to fall back on. But he had a tremendous amount of faith and trust in God, and he even stated in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Wow. That's pretty deep faith, if you think about it. So we find Job abiding under his faith and trust in God. We also pointed out that as we run with patience the race that is set before us, there are three components of patience that bring us to godly perfection. And first and foremost, we as race course runners must be patient with the Lord. He's not going anywhere, but we need to be patient with his working in our lives. And it's a divine work that he's doing in our lives. Secondly, and we always kind of get these two backwards, but this should be secondly, we must be patient with ourselves as we, by divine guidance, allow the Lord Jesus Christ to have his way in our hearts and lives. Now, this is the attitude of the full overcomer, okay? So, again, this is why what we read in 2 Thessalonians 3:5 is so important to our lives, that the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. We need to allow the Holy Ghost to direct our hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ every day in our daily walk and in every event that is on our individual race course. We do not direct our lives. He does, okay? We must learn to be anxious for nothing. You know that one, okay? That's one of those Philippian verses. And to let our moderation be known unto all men, and to rejoice in the Lord always and at all times, for all things are divinely orchestrated to work together for our good. Now, if you wanted some scriptures to study on that again, it's Philippians 4, 4 through 6, and Romans 8, 28, which you all quote so often. Okay? It's not a time on a clock over there in the gym. It says Romans 8, 28 there on the wall. Some guy walked in and goes, "That's a funny clock." It's not a clock, it's a verse. Okay? So, to be a full overcomer, we must have hope. And our Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:1 concerning this hope. I'll read it to you. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul writes to Timothy that he addresses it like this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. The Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. So we find that our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't have any hope in him, we don't have any hope. We really don't. It's amazing. Go to Psalms 39. And David wrote this, and David is an Old Testament worthy of faith. And he knew that his hope was in the Lord. And he wrote in Psalm 39:7, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? What wait I for? My hope is in thee." He knew that. And one of the other of the more profound scriptures which we looked at, I believe even earlier this morning, is Romans 15:4, which says, "For what things sake were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have" what? Hope. Now, the third concept, or the third part, and perhaps one of the more difficult aspects of running with patience the race that is set before us, is being patient with others. Yes, all 7 billion of them. I think that's the population on the earth. Being patient with others. And we're surrounded by, you know, whatever you want to say. You know, there's some real gems out there. And we need to be patient as we are brought these obstacles on our race course. And so we find that the full overcomers will be those who put these three components of patience in their proper order, which is the Lord first, us second, and others third. We got to be patient with all of these. But if you put the Lord first, everything else will fall in its proper place. If we have our eyes on us first or others first, then it's pretty obvious we don't have the Lord first in our lives. And in order to be a race course winner, we need to follow Paul's instructions of Hebrews 12:2, which is to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for he indeed is the prize that is set before the race course runner. Now, as we consider for a few moments being patient with others. Always keep the Lord first and foremost in your heart and mind, and this will help you to be a lot more patient with others if the Lord is put first. You got to be patient with the Lord's working in your own life, and this is the only way you can be patient with yourselves and then others. The Apostle Paul, many times in many different ways, encouraged us how to interact with others. And I'll give you a few examples of some of the scriptures he wrote concerning this. And I want you to turn to Romans 12. We'll read quite a bit here. And you will see how this all ties together with this thought of being a patient race course runner. Romans 12, starting in verse 10. Be kindly affectioned to yourself. No. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Look at this one. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. So obviously if you're doing these kind of things, you have the Lord first, right? Distributing unto the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Verse 14. This is one instructions on how to be patient with others. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. And we should have the mind of Christ in us to do this. As David mentioned this morning, there in Philippians 2. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense no man evil for evil. I'm going to go flatten that guy's tires. Well, that's not right. You know, that's not the love of God. That's not being very patient. None of those things. So, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In other words, you might have to really strain on this one, right? Yeah, amen. Okay. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now those are good godly instructions that have a lot to do with patience with others. And in order to do that, we've got to be patient with ourselves. And first of all, patient with the Lord. There's 7 billion obstacles out there that we need to be patient with. Galatians 6:10, another portion that Paul wrote, and there's more than this. I'm just giving you a few of these. But in Galatians 6:10, Paul writes under the guidance of the Holy Ghost, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto our favorite people. No, it says all men. All men. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay. Philippians 4:5. And that was one of the ones that we referenced earlier. And it's also one of the places that David referenced earlier this morning. Philippians 4:5. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. And one that we read last week, found in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord, make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Go to 1 Timothy 2, and that's a good one here. 1 Timothy 2, 1. All these are good ones. So, I mean, I'm not picking out favorites here, but these are all encouragements as to how to be patient with others. 1 Timothy 2, 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, if you're doing all this, you have to absolutely have the Lord first. And second of all, you're giving thanks for all men, okay? In our time, it's all 8 billion of them. 2 Timothy 2, we'll read 24 and 25. These are instructions to Timothy as he continues on as an apostle himself. And Paul gives him these facts, 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. And why does that come after teaching? Because not all learn at the same pace. So you got to be patient with them. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Obviously, we've run out of time this morning. I'll give you a few more of these verses on how to be patient with others next time, if the Lord tarries. But I hope this gives you some things to think about.